really is greater than our needs. Amen? Now I want to ask you another question. What are the two greatest needs that there are in this world? Thank you, musicians. Think about it for a second. What are the two greatest needs that we could possibly have in this world? The first greatest need is for the lost to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the second is just as important, and that's the fact that Christians would go out and tell them. Those are the two greatest needs that there could possibly be in this world, bar none. Now, I realize we've all got situations in our life that we'd like to see God meet. We have all different kinds of needs inside of this place this morning. But when it all boils down, the two greatest is that the lost would hear and that we would tell them. And that's what we're going to be preaching about this morning. If you want to grab your Bibles, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I want to show you this morning that God is greater than the need. Amen? Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'm going to start reading at verse 7. Man, we're starting at 11 o'clock sharp. That means technically I have a full hour to preach, but chances are I've been trying to preach a little bit shorter, and I think, I don't remember if it was Brother Patrick or Brother Ron, one of these last times I preached, man, I kept it pretty short, and they were amazed at me doing that. But I've been trying to get a little bit better in that. Tim Brim's the master of preaching exactly 30 minutes. And the reason I wish I could do that a little bit better is because it seems like it causes people to stay a little bit longer around the altars and pray, which is really what we're preaching about in the first place. Because I really don't just want you to hear what I have to say. I want you to pray it into existence in your life so that it becomes a part of you. You know, that's the whole thing. So I'm working on it, folks, but so far I'm not too swift. We're going to start in verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. Now, there's two particular things there that I really want to draw your attention to. First is in verse 7. It says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And then I want you to look at the very beginning of verse 11. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher. And I want to talk to you for a little while on forsaking our fear. Forsaking our fear. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, Lord, and we've gathered in this house this morning to be touched by the almighty hand of God. Lord, we realize that you have a purpose for this service, Lord, and we want it to be accomplished in us. Lord, I pray around these altars, God, that you would move by your power and your spirit, convicting and convincing every single person here that your word is true and that it needs to be applied to their lives. And we'll thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Forsaking our fear. Now, how many of you know that every single one of us has something that we're afraid of? Amen. We all do. I mean, regardless of how tough we try to come across, the fact of the matter is every single person here scared of something. I mean, for instance, some people are scared of the dark. I'm going to kind of grow out of that a little bit, but I've been walking around in this church before in the middle of the night, man, and it's creepy around here when all the lights are on. Some people are scared to stay at home by themselves. For instance, my wife, whenever I'm out of town and she's got to stay there, she used to go stay with my mom because she was scared to be at home by herself, but now she's finally got brave enough that she stays at home, you know, with the kids, and, you know, she's got a 70-pound dog. I don't really know what she's, you know, to be too scared of, but some people are scared of that kind of stuff. Other people are scared of spiders and snakes and sharks and stuff like that. Other people are scared of heights. And I didn't realize just how scared people got until you take them to Cedar Point and they'd get in line and wait the whole hour to get on one of those rides. But when they see how high that thing goes up close, they'll jump over the barriers in front of hundreds of people just to get out of there because they're so scared of heights. Other people are scared of change. One thing I've always hated throughout my life is starting new jobs. Ever had to do that? Because I don't like change. I mean, even as badly as I wanted children, it seems like with every child we have, I was kind of scared of the change that it was going to bring into our house, even though I wanted that change to take place so bad. And a lot of people are scared of change. All of us are scared of sickness and disease. Or being the victim of a violent crime. I mean, we could go on and on, but the fact of the matter is there are all kinds of different things that every single one of us are scared of, regardless of how tough we try to be. We struggle with different fears. But do you want to know what I believe is the number one fear that every single Christian has in common? Without a doubt, it's witnessing. The number one fear that every single saint and God has in common is witnessing. Most Christians are scared to death of sharing their faith. If there's one fear that the saints of God seem to suffer from, it's evangelophobia. They're scared to death to go out and witness. And you all can try to look at me as holy and as pious and all those things as you want to, but if I would be mean enough to take a show of hands of how many people have witnessed to someone in the last month, I would doubt that 90% would be able to raise them. So get off your high horse before we even get started, because the Lord wants to help us overcome our fear when it comes to witnessing. But why do you think we struggle so much when it comes to this particular situation in such a significant way when it comes to being scared to share our faith? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, we all deal with fear in a certain degree of going out and witnessing like we should, but why do we struggle with it in such a significant way? Well, the answer's real easy. It's because the devil makes sure that we do, folks. Amen? I mean, he's very overwhelming in his efforts when it comes to this. He does everything in his power to make sure that this problem of being scared to share your faith is very firmly established in every believer's life. He works overtime to make sure that it happens. And that's why we struggle with it. Folks, we need to understand that the number one way that the devil tries to keep us from witnessing and winning the lost like we should is by filling our hearts with fear, to the place that it becomes such a stronghold in our lives as believers that we don't go on to witness and share our faith like the Lord expects us to. I want you to think about it. This problem can affect us to the point that all a Christian has to do is just hear the word evangelism and they start to become overwhelmed with apprehension and anxiety. I mean, just the sound of the word, let alone going out and putting it into practice, puts people into a panic. Yeah, it does. And if you want to make sure that what I'm saying is true, all you got to do is go up and ask somebody when you're getting ready to go out and witness and say, hey, I'd really like to take you out witnessing with me, and watch their reaction when you do. Here's what will happen. They'll go, they'll start stumbling on their words immediately. They'll start getting all fidgety and they'll come up with every reason and excuse in the book as to why they can't go on that particular day. And if you change the date or the time, they'll have something to do then too. You could stand there and give them a million different times and dates that you'd like to take them. And they'll be just as fidgety, they'll stumble just as much, and they'll have just as many excuses. I mean, it never seems to run out. Now, why do you think that that happens? Well, it's basically because of one reason and one reason alone. It's because they're scared to death to go out witnessing. It's just the way that it is. Satan has overcome them with a stronghold of fear when it comes to sharing their faith, to the place that when it comes to them stepping out and actually fulfilling the commission that the Lord's placed on their life, they're so paralyzed by fear that they never put that commission into practice. They can quote it to you. They know where it's found. They fully realize that they're supposed to be doing it, but they're so paralyzed by this stronghold of fear that they never put it into practice like they should. Now, if there's two things in the Word of God that are absolutely clear to us, it's the fact that, number one, God has called every single one of us to preach the gospel to people that are lost. There's no debating that. Okay? Anybody that has ever read their Bible knows that's the case. And number two, He expects us to be very bold and absolutely obedient to that call. No exceptions. But regardless of how obvious both of those things are, rather than having verses like Acts chapter 4, verse 31, be a verse that describes our personal involvement when it comes to evangelism, I think several of the descriptions we find in the Gospel of John would be a little bit more descriptive instead. Because in Acts chapter 4, verse 31, it says this, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the Word of God with boldness." Okay, that's what God wants to see. That's the result that He wants to see as the result of His commission. But now I want you to notice some more descriptive verses we find in the Gospel of John. Like in John chapter 19, verse 38, it says, "And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for the fear of the Jews. He believed, but he was too scared to tell anybody about it." John chapter 12, verse 42. "Nevertheless, among the chief priests also, many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him." John chapter 7, verse 13. "Howbeit no man spake openly of him, for fear of the Jews." Now we see two different descriptions here, don't we? I mean, we see one example of the apostles going out and boldly preaching the Word of God like they should, recognizing the commitment and the commission that's been placed upon their life to go out and to preach the gospel to a lost and dying world. And then we also see another group of people that said that they believed, but they didn't confess it because of fear. They didn't tell anybody else about this because of fear. It makes it very clear. So we see that one group was very, very bold and obedient, and the other one was secretive. Simply put, it shows us that we can become so engulfed by Satan's stronghold of fear when it comes to sharing our faith that we can take the old phrase, having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you all heard that before? To a very unbalanced level that we take it so personal we don't tell anybody else about it. And it's real easy to see if this problem's affecting you personally. Real easy to test yourself. All you got to do is ask yourself, have I witnessed to my coworkers, my classmates, my family, my old friends, the neighbors that live right beside me every single day? And then ask yourself, which one of those descriptions that we just read about am I more like? Am I bold and obedient? Or do I believe, but I'm still secretive? So it's easy to see when you look at that, Satan is extremely successful in keeping us silent. And it's all because he comes and he fills our hearts with fear. Think about it. We can come up with all kinds of reasons why we don't share our faith. We have 1,000 excuses, people do. But what does it all boil down to? You're too scared to do it. But I want you to notice what the Word of God has to say about this. Because in our text, He very clearly declared that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Do you hear what I said? Very familiar portion of Scripture, but we don't apply it to our lives, especially when it comes to witnessing. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but it says He's given you a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now notice the results in verse 8. "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord." Boy, that's a word that would preach, ashamed. But be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Okay? Now there's four very important things that we need to learn from those verses when it comes to us being too afraid to share our faith like we should. And we're going to pull them all out of verse 7. Okay? And the first thing that we need to understand, that it is completely against the will of God for us to feel this way and for us to fall to this. Amen. It's completely contrary to the will of God for us to be too scared to share our faith. It's totally contrary to the will of God. Because I want you to notice what it says at the beginning of verse 7. It says that God hath not given us a spirit of fear. And if God didn't give it to us, who did? It's quite obvious. The devil did, didn't he? And it even says that when this problem's taking place in a believer's life, it's because they've become afflicted with a spirit of fear. Now that's interesting. Because when we think about it, we just say, well, I'm just kind of bashful or I'm timid. The reason I don't share my faith is, yeah, it's because I'm afraid or I'm scared. But it's just because that's just... No, that's not what the Word of God has to say. It says because we become afflicted with a spirit of fear. It gives it a title. Meaning that a hindering spirit from hell has attached itself to that believer's life for the sole purpose of keeping them from obeying their commission. Becomes a little bit heavier when we understand that, doesn't it? Folks, we need to understand that fear is a type of satanic bondage. Amen? Because it keeps you from fulfilling the will of God in your life, especially when it comes to the commission that God's called us to. So it's not of God, but it's a demonic spirit from hell that's meant to keep us so bound that we can't go out and witness like we should. So like I said, it's completely against the will of God for us to feel this way and for us to fall for this, because God hath not given us the spirit of fear. The devil did. And because of it, we shouldn't want anything to do with it. Now, I want you to put this in perspective of what the Word of God is very clearly teaching here. If you're here this morning and you're too afraid to witness, you need to understand that a hindering spirit from hell has attached itself to your life and is keeping you so bound that you can't obey God like you should. I'm not scared of you. I'll say it again. It means that a hindering spirit from hell has you so bound that you can't go out and preach the gospel like you've been called to do. You're not just timid. You're not just shy. You're being attacked by the enemy. It happens to all of us. Huh? But we need to make sure before we go any farther, we don't just push it off and say, well, I've just always been kind of, you know, naturally timid. So have I. We need to make sure we don't say, well, you know, I'm just, you know, basically a shy person. That call still applies. And what's hindering you from keeping it is because a spirit from hell has attached itself to your life. I'm not saying that you're demon-possessed, but it's giving the spirit of fear a title for a purpose. It's just to get us to understand, it's not something that comes from within us. It's something that's attacking us from without. Second thing that we need to understand is that God desires to engulf us with an entirely different outlook when it comes to evangelism altogether. He doesn't want us to be consumed with the spirit of fear. And the first part of that outlook that He desires to give us is mentioned very, very clearly in the next part of verse 7, where it says that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. Those three words change the outlook that God wants us to have concerning sharing our faith altogether. Now, Satan would like us to stop right there. God's not giving us a spirit of fear, you know, and we just, oh, you know, but we need to understand, He's given us power to overcome this. Okay, in other words, it's not the will of God for us to be filled with fear when it comes to us fulfilling our call to reach the lost. That's not the will of God. But this verse makes it very clear that God wants to fill us with His power to reach the lost instead. Now, the devil's trying to keep us bound by a spirit of fear in order to keep us from witnessing like we should. We all understand that. But this verse is telling us that God wants to fill us with such power in our lives that we'll be able to break through every attempt of the enemy that he tries to make us, you know, bound up in this area so that we can go on to be used in a mighty way to reach people for Christ. I mean, we understand that's how the devil's going to fight us. The Word of God has made it very clearly that he's going to come against us in that way. But now we're coming to the understanding that even though it works on a lot of people, God's saying, wait a second, but I'm willing to give you power to get past this. Folks, we need to understand that when it comes to this problem in our lives, we need to get a hold of the truth that's found in the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 15, where it says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage unto fear. You hear what I said? For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. There's a big difference there, folks. Now, do you know what that verse is telling us? Because it's telling us that as the people of God, we have absolutely no business whatsoever being bound by a spirit that God has already given us victory over. Because that's not what we received as part of our spiritual inheritance. Amen? We don't receive the spirit of bondage and fear when we become part of the family of God, but we receive the power to get past those things in both of those areas in every single aspect of our life. Notice what that verse said. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. But you've received the spirit of adoption. Whereby we cry, Abba, Father, or Daddy, you've got me past this. Especially when it comes to the subject of evangelism. What did Jesus say in Acts chapter 1, verse 8? But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. You're not going to be a bunch of frightened believers that sit inside of your house that's too scared to even share the gospel with somebody you work with. But I'm going to give you such a power that you'll be able to get past those fears and go on to be the kind of witness that I've called you to be. In other words, even though Satan's going to try to keep us bound in this area, it doesn't mean that his attempts have to work. And the reason why is because we do not have to bow down to him when he tries to fill us with fear, but we can rebuke it, we can refuse it, and we can resist it, and then we can go on to replace it with the power that God desires to endue with us instead. Which is exactly what God intends to do in every single one of our lives. I want you to understand this morning, if you're here and you would be scared to go out and witness with me after this service, God doesn't want you to stay there any longer. God did not give you that spirit. It's a spirit from hell that's attached itself to you so that you can't go on to witness like you should. That's not the will of God for your life. And as a matter of fact, He says, I'll give you power over that if you'll just let me. Yeah. Who's more powerful, Satan or God? Who can have more of an effect on a person's life, Satan or God? So we don't need to stay this way, do we? And then the next part of the outlook that God wants us to have concerning this problem is mentioned very clearly in verse 7 as well. It says, For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love. And again, three little words that change the outlook that we need to have when it comes to our role in evangelism. Okay, now this part of verse 7 is telling us that not only does God desire to fill us with all the power that we're going to need to go on to fill our role in evangelism, but it's telling us that He wants to give us all the love that we're going to need in order to be faithful in this area as well. Okay? So we see that power is not the only needed element. You've got to have love in your life too. Okay? But when you read that, you need to ask yourself, how can love get us past the fear that we have to witness? What's love got to do with it? Well, we're told in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, something very significant. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casteth out fear. Very significant, isn't it? I mean, if you're too scared to share your faith, you're not going out and witnessing like you should because you're fearful. Man, 1 John chapter 4, 18 is a very big revelation because it says that there is no fear when love's in place. Because that perfect love casteth out, or it eradicates that fear in your life. Which means that when you're filled with the proper kind of love, which is the kind of love that loves God more than you love yourself, and loves God more than anything else, and prefers other people before you do yourself, then the call of God on our lives to go out and witness to people that are lost will just naturally occur. It'll be the natural outcome, the natural outflow. And the reason why is because of two main reasons. Number one, because when you really love God, you'll obey Him. Now, I want you to think about it. If you're not witnessing like you ought to, man, the words of Christ ought to not just echo in your ears, it ought to pound your head like a hammer. If you love me, keep my commandments. And if you really love God like you should, you'll get past all your fears and say, God, I'm more scared of you than I am scared of the fears that I have, you know, to do the things that you've asked. So God, I'm asking that you come down and that you change me so that I can be obedient to you. Amen. And when you consider the fact of everything that He did for you so you could be saved, amen, if you really want to be like Jesus Christ, it'll cause you to do everything that you can so that other people can be saved too. Because if you love Him, you want to be like Him. Second reason is because when you truly love others, you'll be so concerned about the condition of their soul that you'll be willing to do everything in your power to see that they not only hear the gospel message, but you'll be willing to do anything you possibly can to see that they go on to accept it inside of their life. So when you're filled with the kind of love that the Lord desires you to have, it will literally propel you to share your faith in the way that He expects you to. Simply because there won't be anything left standing in your way to stop you. Because perfect love casteth out fear. It's not there anymore. I mean, when you love God like you ought to, and you love other people in the way that you're supposed to, which are the two great commandments, Jesus said, you're not going to have problems with going out and sharing your faith. You see how this just works hand in hand? How the devil just throws this one little hindering spirit in here and it plays such a monkey wrench in the entire plan of God, whether it's for our lives personally or whether it's for the people that He wants to see saved. Just this one little aspect of fear and everything's ruined. But at the same time, if it's taken out of the way, everything's fixed. And then the last part of the outlook that God wants us to have concerning this is found at the end of verse 7. It says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Very important that we notice that. Now, when a Christian isn't witnessing like they should, they become consumed with condemnation as a result, don't they? If you're here this morning and you're not sharing your faith like you know you're supposed to be, God's already convicted you in this service because He's faithful to do those things. Amen. The fact of the matter is when we have that feeling in our lives, amen, we become tremendously convicted as a result. As a matter of fact, when you come to an understanding of the only reason that God's left you here on this earth, which is to go out and to reach lost people, not to see you start to change in your life, because He knows we're still going to make... If He wanted to just see us become holy, He'd take us up into heaven. He's left us here for one reason. And when you come to an understanding, God, you left me here for one reason, and I'm not fulfilling that reason in my life, you become extremely convicted unless you're so seared in your conscience that you don't care. And the second reason that people are so filled with this feeling of condemnation, number one, is because they don't understand that God has asked them to do something and they refuse to do it. And then, because they realize, you know, that they're withholding the only hope that lost people have to be saved. Now, understand what I'm saying here. I want you to notice two portions of Scripture that paint a perfect picture of this feeling of condemnation that I'm talking about. Because when you're filled with this condemnation, there's two things that are really the reason behind it, okay? It's because you realize that you're not doing something that God wants you to be doing, and it's because you realize you're withholding the only means that people have for salvation. And here's what it says in Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17. He said, "Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood shall I require at thine hand." Then in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." What's verse 14 say? "How then shall they call in him on whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" And because of this condition that they're in, where they're not going out and sharing their faith like they should, they're tremendously convicted as a result. Because they feel unacceptable to God, and they feel downright sinister before man. And rightfully so. Because God's asked them to do something, and they're not willing to do it. And they realize the only way people can get saved is if they tell them how to be saved, and they realize they're not giving them that hope. And we need to understand that they're put inside of this horrible condition all because of fear. In other words, they're plagued with this condition because they're paralyzed by the stronghold of fear, and they're tormented in their spiritual lives because of it. Does that sound like the will of God to you? How many of you know that those are not the kind of feelings that the Lord wants His people to be consumed with? Amen? I mean, He doesn't want us to be consumed with conviction. He doesn't want us to be paralyzed by fear. But He wants us to take a stand on what the Word of God very clearly has to say about this situation. Because in the Word of God, we see that the Lord knew that we were going to struggle with this kind of problem. And we also see that He has some very significant things to say about it. For instance, I want you to notice what the Lord told Jeremiah when he was struggling with this problem. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. And the Lord said unto me, Say not, now I want you to notice, verse 6 there. He said, O Lord, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. Okay. He's trying to offer up an excuse. He's saying, I can't go out and say this because I'm too young. That was his excuse. But I want you to notice what the Lord says. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Now notice what he says the real problem is. Be not afraid of their faces. You're not too young, you're too scared, Jeremiah. Grow up, son. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. When the Lord put forth His hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee, and be not dismayed, or don't be afraid of their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defense city, and an iron pillar, and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. Now, do those verses make it sound like we ought to be too scared to witness to you? No, it just makes it sound like God very clearly understands that we're going to be fought in this area. So He took the time to explain to us that when it comes to sharing our faith, we do not have to listen to the lies of hell when it comes to fulfilling the will of God in our lives. I mean, Jeremiah tried to offer up excuses. Lord, I can just see him getting fidgety now. Just like everybody asked to go witness. And, Lord, I can't because I'm too young. No, you're too scared and I can get you past it, is what God said. All in all, what the Lord was saying is this. I've called you to be a witness unto me to a lost and dying world. And because of it, Satan is going to send a spirit of fear to try to attach itself to your life, to try to hinder you from doing what I've called you to do. But you need to understand that even though the spirit of hell is going to come, you can resist it, you can refuse it, and you can replace it so that you can go on to do exactly what I've called you to do instead. In other words, he's telling us that while he knows this is going to happen, the only way that it actually has to go on to hinder us is if we let it. We have to have a sound mind when it comes to this situation. And how do we gain it? By understanding what the Word of God has to say. You know, the devil would like to keep us in a corner, folks. And sister, if you want to go ahead and come. I'm not done, so don't get excited, but. The devil would like to keep us in a corner feeling miserable about the condition that we've allowed ourselves to get into. But I take comfort when I look at a man of God like Jeremiah that offered up all kinds of excuses at first too. I mean, wait a second, Moses did too, didn't he? But I just love what God had to say to them. I understand that you're scared. Man, Jonah was too. Look at all these people in the Word of God that we could start naming off. But God got them past the fear that they had and used them in a tremendous way to reach the lost for Jesus Christ. So even though that might not be the condition we want to be in, paralyzed with fear to where we don't share our faith, the good news is this morning is that God can get us past it. We need to understand and accept the fact that God does not want us as His people to be convicted when it comes to the commission that He's placed on our life to go out and reach the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nor does He want us to be paralyzed by a spirit that He's already given us victory over. But He wants us to have a sound mind concerning this situation, just like David did in Psalms chapter 27, verse 1, when he said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Think about that in light of your situation that we're talking about this morning. The Lord is my light and my salvation. So why are you afraid? The Lord is the strength of your life. So why are you fearful? And that's exactly what He wants to do for you and me. I mean, He wants us to stand and say the same thing that Zechariah said in Luke chapter 1, verse 74. He said that God would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve Him without fear, in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life. No fear whatsoever. He wants us to stand and say the same thing that Peter did in Acts chapter 4, verse 29. He said, "Now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto Thy servants that with all boldness we may preach Your word." All in all, He wants us to stand upon the wonderful truth that's found in our text that says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but He's given us power and love and of a sound mind." In other words, He's given us everything He possibly could to get us past it. And when we decide that we're going to stand on what God's Word has to say concerning our role in evangelism, rather than listening to what some spirit of fear that's sent from the depths of hell is whispering in our ear, then this entire problem's going to be put into a proper perspective. Really think about that. I mean, when we decide that we're going to listen to what the Word of God had to say to us today, rather than listening to what some spirit from hell that's attached itself to us is whispering in our ear that we already have the victory over, we're just letting it hang around, everything's going to be brought into a proper perspective. Because think about it like this. What's there to be scared of? A couple days, we're going to celebrate the 4th of July. We live in the United States of America. What's somebody going to do to you if you go out and witness to them on the street? I've witnessed to hundreds of people, and the worst thing I've ever had done is somebody lit the track that I gave them on fire and threw it on my car. Doesn't really stack up to the Fox's Book of Christian Martyrs, does it? What are you scared of? Persecution? It's basically irrelevant. Rejection? They're not rejecting you, they're rejecting Him. And yet, time after time, we let those silly little irrelevant fears keep us from obeying the commission that God's placed upon our lives. But folks, I hope this morning there's some people here that are going to come around the altars and make the decision that that is not the way they're going to allow it to be in their lives anymore. Wouldn't it be sad when we've heard the truth of God's Word and when we realize what's at stake, it says, "Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord?" A person that has clean hands. What did it say in Ezekiel chapter 3, probably verse 19? It says, "His blood will I require at your hands if you haven't witnessed." How can you have clean ones when there's blood dripping off of them? When we realize what's at stake, our own soul and the souls of people all around us that are lost in sin, it puts us into perspective, doesn't it? And it causes you to say, "I'm not going to let some little imp from hell rob me of the relationship that God wants me to have." When it comes to my personal relationship with Him or the calling that He's put on my life to go out and reach this world. He's given us every provision He possibly could, folks, to get us past this. I appreciate the sweetness of God. I love it when I can read in different verses like I did there in Jeremiah where I see other people having the same problem that I'm struggling with and the fact that God understands that problem. He didn't rebuke him. He didn't say, "Oh, I'm going to take the call away from you. You're a waste of blood, and I'm just going to go ahead and kill you. I'm not even dealing with you, you idiot." He said, "Oh, you don't have to feel that way. But I've got some things in store for your life that will get you past it." I appreciate that about the Lord. And I want you to understand, he's not going to be offended when you come around these altars this morning and say, hey, you know how Jeremiah was offering up excuses? You know how Peter was too scared to admit that he knew who Jesus Christ was? You know how Jonah didn't go to Nineveh because he was scared of what they were going to do? Lord, you understand all these people that were scared just like I am? God, that's the same condition that I'm in. And I need you to help me just like you helped them. And he's not going to be offended. But he's going to come down and give you the anointing that you're going to need to get you past it. He's going to give you the power that you need to get past it. He's going to give you the love that you're going to need to get past it. But you're going to have to decide what kind of mind you're going to have if you're going to get past it. Are you going to listen to Satan? Or are you going to have a sound mind that's based off the Word of God? Amen. Let's go ahead and stand. Here's the verses I want you to stand on this morning. We got a good 20 minutes to pray. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Who's here that's a son of God? Part of the family of God. You're saved. Then He's put a calling on your life to reach the lost, and you know it. Here's what verse 15 goes on to say. Because you're saved, regardless of what you're struggling with this morning, ye have not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. In other words, if you're struggling with this, you don't have to. Because that's not the way that God set it up. You can come down and do exactly what that verse said. You can cry out, Daddy, I'm struggling with a problem that I don't need to struggle with. I've got a hindering spirit on my back that you've given me victory over, and I don't want to leave this morning until I get it. Second verse is our text. God's not giving you a spirit of fear, folks, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now understand, God didn't give you the spirit of fear, but He did give you some things. God will give them to you. So we need to understand that the type or the kind of love and power that we're going to receive is from God. Not our insufficient strength, but His power. Not our lack of love to go out and do what He's called us to do, but a love that overrides those things that we want to go out and reach the people with the gospel more than anything else in the world. And we need to let Him come down and instill those things and establish those things in our life. Because we don't need to stay in the spot that we're in. I don't need to have everybody bow their heads and close their eyes and raise their hands and all those different things. All of you are struggling with this. To a certain degree, some more than others. The devil makes sure that we do. But God wants to make sure that we don't. Heavenly Father, we come to You in Jesus' name, Lord, and we thank You for the hope that we find in Your Word. We thank You for the provisions that You always make to get us past the problems that the devil tries to establish in our lives. Lord, we're thankful this morning that even though we might be struggling with fear when it comes to sharing our faith, we don't have to stay in that condition any longer because You said that You'd fill our hearts with power. You'd fill our lives with love. Lord, we could base the way that we feel about this off a sound mind that's coming directly off the foundations of the Word of God, and You will propel us past this situation and on to accomplishing everything that You want us to accomplish and the hearts and lives of people that are lost and without You. Lord, use us. But before that can happen, we're going to have to gain a proper perspective. And around these altars, I pray that You take time, Lord, to help everybody to take this very seriously and to make sure that they commit themselves to not leaving the same way that they came. You said that You would make every provision and You would establish those provisions in our lives to get us past this problem. But we have to be willing to let You do it. Lord, I pray that's what the determination would be of every single person here. In Jesus' name, amen. In closing, I found in my own personal life, and I think that you'll agree with this unless you've never really started witnessing like you should, that the worst feeling you can have as a Christian is not obeying the Great Commission like you should. By being grateful and thankful for everything that God did for you, but you're not willing to go out and do what He asked you to do for Him. Okay? That's the worst feeling that you can have. But the best feeling you can have is when you can say, God, I'm not going to let that kind of description be labeled on me. But I'm going to get past this and I'm going to go out and share my faith just like You've asked me to do. I remember in my own life, Brother Chad, when I'd struggle with this and I'd hand out tracts, I'd do some different things. Amen. But God was calling me to go and witness to strangers. And I was scared to death. I mean, I told you before, the first time I went handing out tracts, I only handed one to a little girl because I was too scared to hand them out. And you can laugh, but it was real to me. I was paralyzed by a spirit of fear until I realized that I didn't have to be. And the feeling that I was struggling with that day when I came back in, I said, God, you were willing to hang on a cross and die for me, and I can't even go give a piece of paper to a person walking down the street compared to the feeling that I have when I sit down and witness to people out on the street. I mean, I remember one time witnessing to a whole group of teenagers at this music festival, and it felt so good, and the trade of feelings is completely unbelievable. That's what God wants to establish in your life today around these altars. But you've got to decide that you're going to let Him. Now, the reason I'm hanging out, not just because I got a bunch of time here and I preached a little shorter, it's because I realized that people heard this message and they nodded and they agreed, and the Spirit of God was faithful to convict you of your problem, but right now you're not planning to do anything about it. I've preached on evangelism a lot of times, and yet we're still at the same place, aren't we? Folks, it's time that we get past this for your sakes and for theirs. There's too much at stake. Your soul and their stake, and their soul are at stake over this one little thing. And there's one thing that's hindering you from it. Fear. That can easily be eradicated if we'll just let it. Let's come down this morning and make sure that it is. Amen? Let's come and pray.